Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest a Democratic candidate for governor of Rhode Island, Todd Giroux. Thanks for joining us, Todd.
Good morning, Ian.
Todd, when you ran for governor in 2010, you got less than 1% of the vote. So tell us, if winning this race is not the goal, why are you running for governor? And tell us a little bit about yourself and why you are running.
Hi. Again, my name is Todd Giroux. I am running for governor here in Rhode Island as a Democratic candidate. I was born in Woonsocket. I grew up in North Smithfield on a farm. I've been a contractor my entire life, historic restoration, and I'm running to for governor to win. I do hope to win this primary. I'm one of the few voices from Main Street, Rhode Island, who understands the housing market, the jobs market. I'm talking about a commerce fund to help the small businesses and property owners of the state. I believe that we're continuing to be at the crossroads of commerce and investment in Rhode Island, and continuing that message forward.
Let's go to a question from Maureen.
Well, one of the reasons I'm curious about your candidacy is if you look on your website, you seem to be better placed in the Republican Party, given your positions, for example, on tax policy and so forth. And also, why start at the governor's level? Why not run even for lieutenant governor or for the legislature? You could have a possibility of winning, a greater possibility of winning, and be more effective.
I support bills such as the ones that were just recently introduced for exemption on the first $15,000 of retirement income. I'm glad to see the sales tax policies to reduce the sales tax being introduced and finally get rid of the car tax. So I think one of the things that gives me traction in this race is that I am in the center. I remain in the center. I have a lot of friends on the right-hand side of the aisle. I look forward to utilizing that in reaching to be governor of Rhode Island. Why governor of Rhode Island? Because I think there are very few people of any generation that step forward to understand that intersection of commerce and labor. My construction background puts me in that position. I've had my real estate license in the past, and really understanding those drivers of economy, it's always about labor and investment. I'm seeing a lot of success with the revolving funds we've had here in the state, and I'm pushing that message forward so that small businesses and property owners have somebody in the state that's responding to these issues.
Let's go to Scott.
Look, you got less than 1% last time. Tell me why this is not a vanity race. In other words, what are you going to do different this time to give you a realistic chance of winning?
The support I have, again, from the Democrat side and Republican side is what propels me forward.
Well, how much money do you have?
Oh, we're in the hundreds. We're not in the millions and we're not in the thousands.
Well, that means you don't have much support from anybody if you can't raise more than a few hundred bucks.
Well, recently my campaign treasurer, George Tripp, has joined the campaign. We have an IT guy, formerly worked for the Attorney General's office and the Secretary of State's Elections Division, Tony Policcio. He's been very helpful in data mining information here for us. So there is a support that I have. I've been out there the last several years. My single focus is a centrist message, supporting a jobs plan for the state, and I do think it's going to take a Main Street guy to carry that message forward.
The new Speaker of the Rhode Island House, Nicholas Mattiello, has shaken up committee assignments in that chamber. In two of the most striking changes, Mattiello made North Kingstown Republican Doreen Costa vice chair of the House Judiciary Committee, and one of former House Speaker Gordon Fox's leading critics, Karen McBeth of Cumberland, has been made the chair of the House Oversight Committee. Scott, how significant a change do you expect, if at all, from these kind of differences at Smith Hill?
Look, to the victor belongs the spoils, and this is exactly what we're seeing. The folks who stuck with the Marcello group, who were more like Fox, they lost. What you're seeing is Speaker Mattiello coming in, consolidating his power, and putting his people in. Now, the Republican caucus went for him, so they had to get something. He put Doreen Costa on judiciary. I think the big change there is going to be in some issues, particularly gun control. Where, you know, we bounced Edie Ajello out of there from Providence. She's very strong on that issue. And now you have Kale Keeble from Burrillville there. And I think with Jay Edwards, you're going to be seeing a group that's much more conservative on gun control. The other thing is there are no women in Mattiello's leadership team who are on any major chairwoman of any major committee. And really, it's the 21st century. That looks a little odd to me.
Todd Giroux, what kind of changes do you expect, if at all, from this shakeup in the House of Representatives?
I see the new speaker. He does have an opportunity to recognize that the people of Rhode Island They're looking for leadership, for the best possible balance between our educational and our social values and those inherent constitutional powers that validates our liberty and freedom we cherish. So I say the balance is tipped towards social progress, especially here in Rhode Island. The appointments may reflect a center. Perhaps a right many progressives are unsettling, but we have an opportunity to defend property rights and end to mass criminalization of cannabis, guns, and unroot a type of cronyism that we see, that we recognize needs to change here in the Ocean State.
Maureen, as Scott said, the House seems even less likely to impose more stringent gun measures. Other than that, what kind of changes do you expect from the Mattiello speakership and his new committee assignments?
I think it's interesting to see what's going to happen on finance, particularly Chairman Galliston, because he's already indicated they're going to scrutinize some of the expected spending. And I really think that that's going to have a big impact on some of the issues. He's talked about reviewing the bond issues, for example. The other one is Jay Edwards and what's going to happen in Sakonnet Bridge. He's proposed a billion, that's with a B, dollar infrastructure plan over a 10-year period. It may be a worthwhile plan, but it's a lot of money. And it'll be interesting to see how far it gets this session and whether or not it solves these nettlesome problems about the bridge tolls.
In 2010, Republican John Laughlin lost his challenge to Democratic Congressman David Cicilline by about 5 percentage points. Now there are a number of little-known challengers who say they're gearing up to run against Cicilline, and Laughlin says he's thinking about a possible rematch. Todd, how do you think John Laughlin stacks up as a candidate against David Cicilline?
I know Cicilline has a great team and an extensive network and party support. Controversy surrounds every politician with some years in office. I think it's going to take some major scandal to unseat a Democrat rep from Rhode Island. Laughlin has a great amount of respect by many of radio listeners and is very popular. I think the Republican Party has some resources coming from out of state, and more could follow with a candidate like John Laughlin.
Maureen, some Cicilline loyalists are scoffing at the possible challenge posed by Laughlin. What do you say?
I think it would be a tough row to hoe. However, the interesting dynamic here is politicians not only look at who wins or loses, but they look at the margins of victory. And because Davids was not that strong the last time out, it continually encourages challenges.
He did have a very strong victory over Brendan Daugherty, and of course it was a presidential election,
right.
So he was helped by that.
Right. But I do think that the numbers matter, and a pattern could get set up here whereby he will have challenges each time, and that's really a problem sometimes, serious challenges. And sooner or later, someone might win.
What do you think, Scott?
I think Laughlin's probably the best candidate the Republicans have. And it is an off year where the turnout will be less minority, less young. It'll be more older white resentment, the folks Republicans go after. And the problem for Laughlin, though, still, this is one of the most Democratic congressional districts in the country, 66% for Obama. And he's really going to have to raise an awful lot of money to cut into Cicilline. I really think it's going to be very difficult. And the biggest problem Laughlin has, he's a Republican.
I think the real issue is whether or not a Republican from the Northeast can provide the same momentum to protecting Social Security, health care, and the social values we've worked so hard to defend and push forward.
Yeah, there's no Republicans now in the U.S. House from any New England state. That tells you something.
Very briefly, Scott, what kind of impact do you expect here in Rhode Island when this Supreme Court decision this week in a campaign finance case filters down to the local level?
Well, I think you probably ought to bring your sons and daughters up to be political consultants, because there's just going to be even more corporate and wealthy people's money sloshing around politics. I don't think it's the greatest thing in the world, but it's what the Supreme Court says. We're going to have to live with it and see what happens.
How about you, Todd Chiru? You're challenged in raising funds compared with people like Angel Taveras, Gina Raimondo, Clay Pell. What kind of impact do you expect?
I think the challenge for me is the same for everybody else here that's listening. We all have homes and bills to pay. We need jobs. And that's the message that I'm on. If I'm the only underfunded candidate, the non-millionaire in the race, I consider that. I'm proud to wear that badge. I've been in marketing and construction. I really understand the people of Rhode Island and what they need.
I really think that essentially says that you can give money to Democrats and Republicans. I think it's more big money, but I don't think the impact is as profound as it is for the citizens' decision.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Democrat gubernatorial candidate Todd Chiru.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.